Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
The devastation following the crash in the early hours of Sunday morning after five teenagers were killed in a head-on collision when their car was driven the wrong way down the M9 motorway, leaving three other women, all from the same family, and a young boy who were in the second car with serious injuries. And our thoughts are with all of those involved and their families as well at this really difficult time. But I'm sure over the weekend you heard the comments from the Garda Commissioner, Justin Kelly. He's condemned what he described as the reckless behaviour of motorists driving on the wrong side of the motorways. He said that in some cases, this form of dangerous driving is being carried out for social media likes. And it sent me down a rabbit hole yesterday. Maybe because of this incident, the platform algorithms meant there were endless videos on social media. Not about what happened in the early hours of Sunday morning, but about other incidents right across the country where cars, scrambler bikes, motorbikes are being driven dangerously, often on the wrong side of the road and the motorway, and on rural roads across the country. And then there's endless videos on the likes of TikTok, on Instagram and on X, of people zooming in on speedometers, indicating the speed, even in some cases, Garda lights behind them. And also in incidents where, I mean, people's profiles are identifiable, where some of these videos have been shared. And that's not talking about the incident that happened in the early hours of Sunday morning, but generally it's reporting incidents, people recording themselves and sharing it to social media. And you'd have to question, why haven't these videos been removed from the social media platforms? Criminologist Trina O'Connor, who's the host of the Real Lives Untold podcast, is with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Because, Trina, it's very disturbing what the Garda Commissioner is talking about, this general trend on social media.
It really is, Andrea, and I think we've been seeing this for a number of years, and I think for An Garda Síochána Conn, it's been a very difficult one to police, because if they pursue, they could be involved in an accident themselves, which we've seen happening in the past. So it's challenging. How do we reach these young people that are acting in these really reckless ways, as you say? I think one of the most disturbing things for me, and I've gone down that dive as well, is the glorification of the people involved in some of these incidents. You really would wonder where people's moral compasses are when they're glorifying these kind of actions and not thinking about victims. Sometimes victims are involved in these kind of incidents. Mm. One of the other things that's happening is it's kind of almost for kudos and clout and like a badge of honour. If they can get, it's like a point scoring system that they're doing. So it's a competition between different gangs of people, and they're not always young people, sometimes they're even in their 20s. So I think it's very easy for us to say just teenagers are involved in this, when actually we are seeing people in their 20s.
Yeah, and I know you're not talking, Trina, I know you're not talking specifically about the incident on Sunday. I know you're talking more generally about other incidents in other parts of the country where dangerous driving behaviour is being recorded on social, you know, on phones, and it's being shared to social media sites. But it's probably more prevalent then than maybe a lot of us thought.
Yeah, you see, social media is a really interesting phenomenon. While it's not real, it's actually very real for the people who exist in their cohort online, and they communicate with each other, with their tribe online. So if you're not like part of that group or that clique, you won't be seeing any of these videos. But if you're somebody who follows these different groups, all of that will be coming up on your algorithm. And I think that's the interesting piece. It's this kind of rage bait algorithm that's used on social media, that social media platforms should be held responsible for. And I also think that the general public, what I'm seeing whenever I see videos like this and have done over years, I've seen two different distinct responses to them. I remember one, there was a lady who was pursued on the M50, and some of the comments were, you know, oh, go on, get them to chase you, you know, all this kind of nonsense. And then there was other people saying, will you please stop and think about the safety of people around you? So you see very polar opposite opinions. And I think that the social media platforms should be accountable to remove these videos, particularly the live feeds, because in them live feeds, people are behaving in miraculous ways. And if they're encouraged by the comments, they continue to behave in miraculous ways. So, and I also think public opinion in relation to what's happened over the last couple of years on these platforms, people are coming out now and reporting them, which is really good, because then it makes social media companies have to take note when there's massive reporting on videos that have been put up. But it's not just driving, Andrea. Sometimes what we're seeing is we're seeing call-out videos as well between different gangs who behave in antisocial ways or may be involved in drug dealing, and they have their own patch, and they'll call other gangs out organising fights. We've seen that on beaches, we've seen it in coastal towns. So there's a lot of stuff happening on social media that if you're not part of that group, you don't know until something appears in the media, in the mainstream media. So there's a lot of work there to be done by the social media platforms and also by An Garda Síochána, and they need the resourcing to do that and to follow that up. And that's really resource heavy and time consuming, but it's something that we really need to get a handle on.
We'll talk about what platforms, social media platforms can do, Trina, in a moment, what powers they have at the minute and maybe what other powers they might actually require to remove some of the videos that we're talking about today. But you know, one of the things that struck me yesterday, and you know, again, to be clear and just to say, to reiterate, I'm not talking about the incident that happened on Sunday, but probably because of that, the social media platforms are, the algorithm will mean that videos of other incidents, you know, somewhat similar, are being fed to social media consumers. I mean, I saw many of them myself, I'm sure other people did as well, of other incidents that happened, you know, a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago, even a year or two ago as well. And I'm sure for parents of children and teenagers listening to this today, I mean, it's got to be very worrying for them, Trina, that like this is some of the content that's been fed to their kids.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of like a normalisation of this kind of anti-establishment behaviour and feeling like you're a big man or a big woman by being involved in this. And that can encourage other young people to think, oh, well, I can get this kind of attention. Because you and I both know when you're an adolescent, you're trying to navigate them years, trying to work out who you are. And for many adolescents, they are looking for attention. And if this is one of the ways to get attention by going viral, it really doesn't matter to them if they go viral for a positive or a negative reason. And that can be encouraging young people. So that's why, like you say, the social media platforms are pushing more and more videos that may be years old, and then it just appears on your feed. And like, these platforms are about money making. So the more people that view these videos, the more money they make through advertising and all of the kind of things that they make their money. So they're not necessarily concerned with what the message of the video is. What they're concerned with is the traffic that it drives to their platform. And that's, I suppose, crucially where the error is with the way these social media platforms work. It shouldn't be that way, that rage baiting should be something that will make them more money.
The Garda Commissioner, Justin Kelly's comments yesterday, and I know he was speaking now in the aftermath of the incident that obviously happened yesterday morning, you know, and talking about in some cases that this form of behaviour is carried out for social media likes. What did you make of the Commissioner's comments yesterday?
Well, I thought he was very measured in response to a truly horrific event that happened. I think that it's important that it is called out by people like the Garda Commissioner. I think that we need to be looking at where else we can call out this kind of behaviour, whether that's in youth clubs, whether that's in schools, and that education piece around how dangerous social media can be if it's used in a negative way. I think that that whole piece needs to be looked at in a much broader context, and also in a much more joined up way, that everybody's preaching the same kind of gospel to people so that they understand that it's not just about what your cohort think. There's actually a societal kind of approach to how we conduct ourselves in on the roads, within communities. And I think that it's very important that young people are given that message. So again, I go back to sometimes when you see some of the glorification, that's the piece that troubles me, where you see people answering these comments on these videos saying, fair play to you, keep going, get a chase off the guards. That actually is a symptom of almost a social contract broken with these young people and the authorities, and that respect that we need for society in general and for, you know, people like on Garda Síochána and emergency services. I think that piece of work needs to be done around how young people approach the guardians of the state and how they interact with society in general.
Dr. Elizabeth Farries, who's a director at the UCD Centre for Digital Policy, is joining us here, Trina, on the line as well this afternoon. Elizabeth, generally speaking, how can videos of dangerous driving, whether it's in a car or on a motorbike, how can they live on social media?
Hi, thanks for having me. And my heart also goes out to the families impacted by this.
Yeah.
So we're agreed this is a complex, layered problem. It can't be reduced to motor safety operations. It can't be reduced to reckless youth behavior. And as the commissioner mentioned, we also need to consider the role of social media. And we've seen instances in the past of risky youth behavior trends on social media platforms. There was the blackout challenge. Fatalities occurred there from oxygen deprivation. There were the laundry pod challenges. Fatalities came from toxicity. And the real tragedy from yesterday is that it wasn't just the young people themselves that were harmed, but a family on the road, as well as the larger community.
And are there things, though, Elizabeth, just generally, are there things that, like can, you know, if I go out and record, we'll say, for instance, right, a video of, you know, somebody or me driving today dangerously on the road, and I share that to a social media site, and my profile where I've shared it is a legitimate profile and it's identifiable, is there anything the social media platforms can do to ensure that that video is removed?
I'll tell you what they do. Social media platforms tend to incentivize, they tend to amplify, and they even normalize risky behaviors. The platforms are designed around visibility and engagement so that content which is, you know, dramatic or transgressive or risky can attract attention. And for some users, particularly some younger users who might otherwise be vulnerable, capturing and sharing dangerous activities like driving could turn the behavior into performance for a perceived online audience. There are rules in place now, though. EU law and policy now requires platforms to address how their social media systems and design contribute to systemic risks. So very large social media platforms like TikTok or Instagram, YouTube, they are required now by law to identify and mitigate systemic risks arising from their algorithmic services. And certainly relevant risks could arguably include these dangerous viral driving trends.
Just let me give you one example in particular, Elizabeth. And again, I'm not talking specifically at all about the incident that happened on the M9 in the early hours of Sunday morning. I'm talking about videos that I actually watched yesterday, and some of them date back to a couple of months ago. Some of them date back to a year or two ago, and some of them are in relatively more recent time as well. But we're talking about videos of people driving dangerously, on rural roads across the country, on motorways. There are videos that have been shared to TikTok, to Instagram and to X. And in some cases, Elizabeth, like the bit that probably struck me the most, some of these videos might have a couple of hundred likes. One video in particular that I watched yesterday had 260,000 likes on it.
Yeah.
Surely social media platforms in that, surely there's an onus on them to take that video down.
There is absolutely a legal onus on the platforms to mitigate the risks. And if there are illegal or dangerous content, they are required to take it down. So the question is, are the EU platform laws, are the policies actually working here in Ireland? And I think that would be up for debate. Are platforms actually changing how their systems operate to reduce risk? Yesterday's tragedy suggests more is required here. It's up in part to our enforcer here in Ireland, Commissioner Naaman, to ensure that the platforms are fulfilling their legal obligations. Mm. That's a relatively new agency. They have an enormous task before them, and tragedies that are coming up will certainly be on their desk, I'm sure.
And look, as I mentioned, you know, obviously investigations, you know, will be carried out. And I can see from some of the texts coming in from listeners today as well, like this texter who says the social media platforms should introduce a policy whereby accounts posting or sharing this content are permanently deleted without any notice. Perhaps would this stop the behaviour of sharing erratic content? driving, would that stop it? I mean, that would seem like a sort of a straightforward enough thing, I would have thought, Elizabeth, that social media platforms could do, cancel the account.
Yeah, I mean, those are some of the earlier questions that were asked when all these harms became very apparent from social media. Can't we just take these things down? Can't we just cancel accounts that are sharing risky content? But more recently, we've started to see that we actually need to look at how the platforms operate. Algorithmically, they want engagement. They want attention. And the dramatic types of events that happen really spur that engagement. So the laws have come in and said, it doesn't matter if this is engaging content. If this is a systemic risk that your social media company is designed to amplify, then that needs to stop. Article 35 and 34 of the DSA requires systemic risks to be mitigated by the platforms themselves. Now, it's easy enough to say that. It's more complicated to enforce, which is why we're still seeing this sort of viral, harmful content online.
And that's why it's there. And I suppose by looking, you know, when talking about, you know, we're looking at one video yesterday, it opens the gates to so many other videos being pushed to people. And that's the very reason more generally we're kind of talking about this today. Dr. Elizabeth Farries is the director at the UCD Centre for Digital Policy, and criminologist Trina O'Connor, who's the host of the Real Lives Untold podcast. Thanks to you both for joining us today on the programme. As I mentioned, Garda investigation continuing into what happened though separately on Sunday morning. And our reporter Jessica Woodlock is in Athy in County Kildare this lunchtime. Jessica, I've no doubt just the community absolutely reeling from what happened.
Yes, Andrea, reeling from what happened, the shock of it, but also the scale of it and the fact that, you know, five teenagers lost their lives and another family remain in hospital today. The roads around here on the M9 where the collision occurred in County Kildare reopened last night, but it's definitely a world away from the devastating scenes that occurred here in the early hours of yesterday morning. I know you've been talking with your guests there about dangerous driving in a more general sense, but I suppose just to reiterate to people that Gardaí are still trying to establish all of the facts in this collision. What we do know is that this was a head-on collision. It occurred when a BMW car was travelling southbound on the northbound carriageway, so travelling the wrong way on that carriageway in the early hours of the morning. And the five teenagers who were travelling in that car that were going the wrong way were all pronounced dead at the scene. There was kind of the stark news, I suppose you could say, this morning that Gardaí initially announced the deaths of four of those boys and then later upgraded that to five. And we've since learned that that followed, I suppose, an examination of the wreck of the car where that fifth body was found. So that just speaks to the scale of the impact. Those boys are all under the age of 18. They're believed to have been between 14 and 16 years of age. And there's some suggestions from locals here this morning, Andrea, that two of them may have been brothers. But again, Gardaí have yet to confirm those names. Yeah. Their bodies were taken to Naas General Hospital yesterday and we're expecting a post-mortem today. Now, the other car was hit head-on and by all intents and purposes, Andrea, Gardaí have said, you know, they were simply heading to the airport. They were heading, we believe, to a family wedding is the suggestion. And they remain in hospital today. Two women are in critical condition and another woman and a child are very seriously hurt. And just to say, you were speaking about the comments of the Garda Commissioner. And I think it's important to say to people, I suppose to say to members of the public how unprecedented his comments are in the wake of a collision like this. It's, you would know yourself, Andrea, from years of reporting on tragic incidents, that for a Garda Commissioner to come out and speak and imply some things so closely to the deaths of people, it shows how seriously the Gardaí are treating this incident and how seriously they're treating the threat of dangerous driving.
And just to say as well that the guards are continuing, obviously, to appeal to anyone who was on the M9 motorway in the early hours of Sunday morning, who may have dash cam footage or video footage, to get in contact with the Gardaí at Athy station. That's reporter Jessica Woodlock there with us in County Kildare in Athy. And again, all our thoughts with those involved and their families at this very difficult time. There'll be more on the investigation, I'm sure, here on the station throughout the course of the afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.